Psalm 128. Well, indeed, we do once again join the children of Israel as they are making their way up to Jerusalem on their pilgrimage. They were called to go up to the three feasts once a year. They go up to three feasts every year that they go up to Jerusalem, and they were called to make their pilgrimage up there to Jerusalem. Psalms 120 to 134 are known as the Songs of Ascent. You'll see that at the beginning of each one. They're titled that because as they would ascend up, go up in elevation to Jerusalem for the feast, these were the songs. Psalms are songs. These are the songs they were to sing on their journey. Make sure you remember that. They're not songs to be sung once they arrive. They're songs to be sung along the way. True for them, true for us. On our life's pilgrimage, we're to worship and praise the Lord along the way. Oh, we'll do plenty of that when we get home, but we're also to worship Him along the way. So that means that their journey and our journey is to be one of worship, a pilgrimage of worship. That's what I've called our time in these Psalms together, a journey of worship. Well, we've come to Psalm 128, and just to mention, Psalm 128 is considered by many commentators and all to be really a partner with Psalm 127, which we covered just last week. Both of these Psalms declare the blessings for the house, the family, the nation, the life, whose builder is the Lord, who is anchored on and all about the Lord. Psalm 127 points to the necessity of that. Psalm 128 highlights how to do it. Let's read. Psalm 128, Song of Ascent. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. I've called our time together this morning based on the declaration of who this blessed person is. I've called our time together this morning, the fear of the Lord. Let's pray. Once again, Father, thank you. Thank you that in the midst of all we go through, you're so very faithful to us. And that in the midst of all just we go through you, we are blessed. We're a blessed people because we have your love, your offer of salvation, eternal life. We find forgiveness. We find hope, peace. Thank you. Thank you for the blessings you pour out upon us. Lord, speak this morning to us about lives built upon being about you and the necessity of that and the opportunity of it. Lord, you know where we're at. You know what we're struggling with. And you want to touch. You want to comfort. There's something you want to do in us. So, Lord, help us. Help us to be receivers even now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just to point out, I am struggling with a little bit of a bug this morning. I say that to make mention of a few things. If I sniffle or something, you'll understand. If my voice sounds strange, you'll understand. But in particular, I mention because I've been told more than once that I lack clarity when I get a cold. So if I'm not too clear this morning, well, I just pray God will, between me and you, He'll make it clear. And you'll lay hold of what God... Guess what I'm saying? Don't let me get in the way of what God would have for you this morning. Let's look at it. As we come to this psalm, we need to always, of course, remember in here that they are indeed pilgrims. And often as pilgrims, when they would make their pilgrimage for these feasts in Jerusalem, they would travel as a family. And we can almost picture now the pilgrim, this man, or the pilgrim, as he maybe was sitting there around a campfire in the evening as they were making their way on their journey to Jerusalem, or maybe as he would be walking along the road, he'd look around and see his family traveling with him there. You can see that he begins now to sing about that, just the blessings God had poured out upon him. In his case, the blessings of home and family and marriage and all, and how that happens. And that's the key here. Because I recognize there will be some here amongst this morning that were not in this place. You know the circumstances in your life, but the foundational truth still holds where the place of blessing is, where our blessings come from. Verse 1, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. This is, of course, the pivotal point in this psalm, and it's foundational for our pilgrim's journey. Who is blessed? Everyone, it says, who fears the Lord. Who's blessed? those who walk in his ways. Now, I've said that, but I'm actually going to move on because we're going to come back and camp on this verse in just a moment. But I want to look at the rest of the context. So look now at verse 2 and following. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. First of all, we notice that the psalmist now, this pilgrim, he has switched to the second person. First, he began by just saying, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. But now he says, you. So he's aiming it at you and me. Take it personal, because it is. And it's for our encouragement and blessing. And what he's basically pointing out is that the fear of the Lord will produce certain things. A blessedness. First of all, he talks about how when we labor with the Lord at the center of it, the Lord will provide. It's a good thing to be able to work. Now, and again, I understand some are maybe disabled. You're out of work. You're unemployed. This isn't trying to make anybody feel bad. But just trying to say, thank God that we do are able to when we're able to, that we're able to labor with our hands. It's honorable to do that. But remember what we say, he said back in Psalm 127, we labor in vain unless the Lord's doing it. And so he's saying that, but just pointing out once again, just the blessing of being able to do that. And someone who fears the Lord or tracking with the Lord, they'll have that desire to provide for their home. He speaks here about his wife. It speaks about the wife, the children. For those that applies to, you know the truth of that. If the Lord's the center of your home, then you know that the blessings of that, that there's that refuge and strength. But again, recognizing that not all those things always go smoothly and well. He's not trying to say that. Because basically the point is this, a marriage, a family life, a life in general, is to have the Lord at the center of it if it's to be all God has designed. And if your circumstances are other than what's described here, the main point is just that. That the place of blessing and guidance and encouragement and hope are found by having a fear of the Lord and walking in his will. Verse 4, having declared just the blessings for this person's home, he sings down now, behold, this is a word that means look. Make sure you see this. Observe this, he says. Look, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. To say that we're blessed is not to make light of what we go through. But I can stand and testify to you that in spite of myself, I'm a blessed man. And you're blessed. The breath you just took, a gift from God. And on it all goes. And it's not making light of what we go through. We'll talk about that more in a moment. But we're blessed in spite of it, in the midst of it all. There's that blessing of just letting God have the steering wheel. And notice, it goes on beyond a family in these verses, in the coming verses. It's going to talk about the person who has a healthy fear of the Lord is a blessing, not just to their family, but to their city, to their nation, to their neighborhood. It spreads out is the idea. It spreads out and impacts all the relationships around us are going to be impacted if the Lord is the center of it. Then verse 5, the Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Here's just talking about one who has a fear of the Lord and walks in his ways will have a desire to. There'll be a vessel towards the end of being an impact upon their country, the city, the nation they live in. And we should have a desire for that to be the case. We should want our country and neighbors and city to have a fear of the Lord and walk in his ways because we know that's the place of blessing. We don't obey God to get blessed. We obey him. Well, we do obey God to get blessed. Excuse me. We don't obey God to get his love. We obey him because he already loves us. But obedience is the place of blessing. And we would have our nation know that and do that. And we grieve, don't we grieve when we see our country not doing that? When we see our country not fearing the Lord or walking in his ways, we see the very negative results from our country drifting from that. So this is just pointing out the importance of it and the blessings that God has poured out upon us. But now let's go back to verse 1 for just a moment, that pivotal verse. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. God extends a blessedness to us. To be blessed is, the word blessed is the same as like in chapter 127, Psalm 127, verse 5, when it's talking about happy is the man. Same word, happy and blessed, same Hebrew word. There's a blessedness, there's a joy. To who? To everyone. God extends these blessings not to those who are more the most intelligent. It's not a financial thing. It's not how well we dress or anything like that. There's a blessedness extend to everyone. It's available to everyone. No matter what you come in here with today, struggling with, God offers to you. It says, blessed is everyone. So all qualify. Depending on two things. And that's where the two who come in here. Blessed is everyone. The first one's what? Who. And these who's are crucial. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Now, what is it to fear the Lord? That we cower and shiver, you know, and tremble and oh, he's out to get me. He's going to squish me. He hates me. Is that the idea? No. This fear here means a deep, deep respect for God. The fear of the Lord, if you come to know God, if you receive Christ as Savior, you come to know God's love for you. He touches us, he changes us, he gives us whole new lives and perspective. He forgives and all those things. And it engenders in us a love response. And it draws from us a response that, Lord, we don't want to hurt him. We wouldn't want to offend that kind of love. And so that's that reverence here. Lord, I want to please you again, not to earn your love, but because you do love me. So I want to please you. And so we find ourselves, when you're in love with the Lord, you want to do those things that please him. Again, not to earn the love, but we've learned that obedience is the place of blessing. It's how we avail ourselves of the things he has for us. So for the person who knows the Lord and is close to the Lord, there'll be a strong desire to bless and please him. And that's the fear here. That's the fear of the Lord. It's just this deep reverence. It's being in awe, a holy awe of him. And how do you know you fear the Lord? That's where the second who comes in, who walks in his ways. When we fear the Lord, we will walk in his ways. There will be a desire to do what he says. Because again, that's the place of blessing. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands. Why? Because when we walk in his ways, we put our feet where he says, that's the best. That walking in his will is the best thing for each of us, of course. So that's just the declaration here. Because what you really have here is, he's speaking about a set-apart. This is the song of a set-apart person. We're called to be holy. But then when you hear that, if you don't understand that word, you go, holy, how am I going to be holy? God's holy, how can I be holy? You don't know what I struggle with. The word holy, in terms of application for us, means to be set apart. Lord, such as I am, I'm yours now. I'm going to be about you. Take my life, fill my life, use my life. And that's what this is. This is the song about a set-apart person or a set-apart marriage, a set-apart family, a set-apart life is what this is talking about. So this you might call it this is the song of a set-apart pilgrim. One who should be saying, God, thy will be done. I love you. You touch me with your love. I just want to walk in your ways. Well, as you know, we've encouraged you to title these psalms. If you've been with us, as we go through each one, we usually wrap up each psalm by considering what title we might put on it. For the purpose of remembrance. For the purpose of having a handle. So when something comes along, a trial or something comes along, we can say, oh yeah, there's a psalm that speaks to that. There's a song for my pilgrim's journey. When I come up against a circumstance, or I need some wisdom or clarity or something, oh yeah, there's this psalm that speaks about that. I hope you've been doing that. I hope you've been writing them down, or at least mentally remembering these psalms and the titles, so you can avail yourself of the truth, the encouragement that's in each one of them. Because I don't want to come in here and just talk, and you listen, we all go home, and there's no impact, no change. These are for us on our pilgrimage to this life. Because we face many a thing, and you know that, and these are to help us in the midst of it. Well, I'm encouraging you to title them. G. Campbell Morgan titles it Jehovah, the Homekeeper of the Pilgrim. Israel, My Glory titles it Our Source. Good old J. Vernon McGee, sounds like him if you know of his teaching. He calls Psalm 128 Home Sweet Home. And you might change it to the life, sweet life, because of the Lord at the middle of it. I grabbed hold of just that idea of blessedness, the blessedness of fearing and walking in God's ways. The blessedness of walking in God's ways. But I want to consider now the next psalm in this pilgrim's journey, because I believe there's an important point here to be made by doing so. Look now at Psalm 129. Many a time they have afflicted me from my youth. Let Israel now say, many a time they have afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed on my back. They made their furrows long. The Lord is righteous. He has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. Let all those who hate Zion be put to shame and turn back. Let them be as the grass on the housetops, which withers before it grows up, with which the reaper does not fill his hand, nor he who binds sheaves his arms. Neither let those who pass by them say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Many a time they have afflicted me from my youth. The plowers plowed on my back. They made their furrows long. Hold it. Let's back up a minute here. I thought you just said that if I walked in the Lord's ways, that if I had a reverential fear of the Lord, that I'd be blessed. This doesn't sound too blessed. Many a times they have afflicted me. So much so that it was like a plower just plowing my back up. Long furrows across my life. Psalm 128 describes all the blessings that come from one who fears the Lord, or for one who fears the Lord. But now we read of afflictions. What kind of blessedness is being sung about here? What's going on? As I studied for this morning, as I studied these passages, my heart was drawn to simply for a few moments consider these two psalms together. Because I suspect that some people think that to be blessed means we never face affliction. Why do I say that? Because when I meet people, when I visit with people in situations, be it a hospital or something, when I counsel with people, oftentimes the words will come out, I thought God was for me. I thought he wanted me to be happy. I thought he has blessings for me. That being the case, then why am I going through this? Why am I having afflictions and pain and trouble? It's important that we still look at this morning. What does it mean to be blessed? Well, what we see here is, based on this psalm, to be blessed doesn't mean just having things. It doesn't mean that we never have anything go wrong in our life. That's not what it's talking about. Many a time they've afflicted me from my youth. Many a time. They've plowed me up. I've been plowed up. I'm a piece of dirt, and they've treated me like dirt. How many afflictions had they faced? Now, in this case, these are the children of Israel. And it says here, many a time they have afflicted me. And we know that's so true for them as a people, don't we? In our history, fairly not that far back, the afflictions that the Jews faced under the Nazis. But you go all the way back to their Babylonian captivities. You look at all the things they've been through. They were a people that have been afflicted just about continually in so many ways along the way. So how many times? How many times has this pilgrim himself, he's singing this, how many times? He says many. Many a times through the things that he'd been through. Remember we talked about how they've been delivered from their captivity and all. But many of these things he'd been through. Many, many a time. From when? From my youth. So from when he was young, his whole life, trials, afflictions. And how bad are they? The plowers plowed on my back. They made their furrows long. Graphic, but accurate. Because I suspect that many of us could use that language sometimes. Lord, this one cuts deep. This one is like someone is plowing my life under. It's just going from one end to the other here. They're plowing their furrows deep. So it's kind of graphic, but accurate, unfortunately, for many of us. But let's look at that idea. Let's look at affliction here, because one psalm blessed, next psalm afflicted. The word affliction here refers to that which causes pain or distress or the state of being in that condition. My understanding is this word in the Hebrew and also in the Greek is used in many ways, really. But it's kind of around that idea of the pain and the distress and all that we either have come against us or the resulting effect in our lives. Pain, distress. Now, again, their affliction right here are ones of persecution, which we face, but we ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to get worse before we get out of here, probably. And so there will be persecution. But we face pain. We face distress. We know that. That's kind of the point here. We face things that can cause us to relate to this in our pilgrim's journey. But what is being pointed out is we can be blessed and still face affliction. To have something come along as an affliction, a pain, a hurt, doesn't mean God's abandoned us. We're still a very blessed people. Kathy and I are greatly blessed in so many ways. We're quick to testify to that. But like you, we all through those times where the furrows are going on, the plowing's going on. But affliction and blessing can coexist, is the idea. So we need to make sure we look at our definition of blessedness. If your definition of, well, if I'm blessed, then nothing bad is ever going to happen, then that needs to be redefined. Because we are blessed. That means good things. God gives us blessings. But they do coexist with afflictions. And that's part of the pilgrim's journey and song. Because notice what the pilgrim had learned. Look at the end of verse 2 of Psalm 129. Yet they have not prevailed against me. Many, many times these afflictions have come. Many things have been thrown at me. Many times of hurt and pain, but they didn't win. They didn't win. Verse 4. Why? Because the Lord is righteous. He has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. Yes, there were cords of captivity and all that had us, but he cut them. He set us free. They were set free from their captivities and all. Because the Lord is righteous. He's true. He watches over us and all that we go through. Remember, the pilgrim of Psalm 128 is also the pilgrim of Psalm 129. And blessings and afflictions do exist together. But the afflictions don't negate the blessings. God is still faithful. He's still at work. Consider Psalm 34:19. I think we will. There we go. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. That's what the pilgrim is singing about here in these psalms, in Psalm 129. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Yes, we track with the Lord, but that doesn't mean we're problem-free. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. Because the Lord holds you, believer, in his hand, and nobody and nothing can pluck us out of his hand. And it's not done yet. We're not home yet. Jesus in Matthew 5, starting at verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Holy, what? Yes. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Yes, there'll be reactions. People come against you. Trials, troubles, afflictions come. For theirs are the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus helps us understand how blessings and afflictions can coexist. Because what's he do here? You'll notice the use of blessed there, how he uses blessed. And you'll notice the future focus of it. Blessed are you, because great will be your reward. Blessed are you. They did it to others, did it to the prophets. It's going to happen to you. But blessed are you, because yours is the kingdom of heaven. You belong to me. And these things oftentimes just show that. And great will be your reward. Important for us to remember the same thing. See, the pilgrim can sing Psalm 129, many times I've been afflicted. Why? Because he's not still at that point. He let God bring him to the point where he says, but they haven't won. They haven't prevailed. Because the Lord is righteous. He's true. He's good. He's seen me through it. And I know that when I come up against another one, I can go right to this psalm and remember that again, that that's how God works. Don't let your circumstances define God. Let what God has said define your circumstances. Set the pace for your circumstances. The Lord intervened for them. He does the same for us. Romans 8, well-known passage for good reason, but just a reminder. And we know, I hope we do, I hope we know this, experientially know it. And we know that all things work together for good. Not that all things are good and fun to go through, but God redeems them. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God. See that idea of you're blessed when you fear the Lord, have that awe, and you're walking in his ways. To those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Christ's likeness is God's goal for us. He's molding and shaping us into the image of Jesus. And everything, including those afflictions, are fair game to be used. All those things are like fingers in his hands in this molding us into that shape of Jesus. And then the next verse, moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. So what's the good he's working towards? All things work together for good. The good is that so you'll have that really expensive car you've been wanting. And the house on the hill, too. No, the good is to be conformed into the image of Jesus. This process of saving, working in us, and then eventually home, glorified, presenting as faultless before his throne. And all those things become part of how he works. So the Lord's just helping us in this brief few moments this morning. Help us see blessedness and see afflictions as he does, that they coexist. And all these things that come along our way don't mean we're not blessed, don't mean he doesn't love us, but it's his way of molding and shaping our lives. It's such a good reminder to us. So what are we to conclude in all this? Pilgrims can sing Psalm 128 because of the truth of 129. What are the truths of 129? That even when there's afflictions, even when it's cutting deep, deep furrows in our lives, when it's not going the way we thought, because we look earlier and we go, well, this guy's got this great family going on and all these things. Well, God's not making light of what we go through. But whatever those circumstances are right now, and whatever afflictions might be in that, remember what he learned, yet they have not prevailed. That's how we can sing Psalm 128. That's how we say there's this place of blessing, because those things will not prevail against us. God has promised to preserve his people, but never promised they would not suffer. And the Jews have survived through all of that persecution, through all these years. They're still a people. Same for us as his church, as his body, his bride. Same for us. Many things come against us. But he's promised to preserve us. And he does. But he never promised that we wouldn't suffer. I read a commentator that said something like this. He said, God only had one son, one sinless son. But God never had children that wouldn't suffer. All suffer. All have suffered. All do. We will face affliction, but God is faithful. We will prevail. Paul in Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Hold it, Pastor. You read that first statement, for our light affliction. How can you call what I go through light? God is not making light of your affliction by calling it light. Keep in mind who's saying this. This is Paul. He's not writing from the jacuzzi at the Hilton. He's a man who went through much. We know that. He was stoned. He was beaten. He was left for dead. He was shipwrecked. He's imprisoned for his faith, forsaken by so many. He went through so much. So how can he call it light? Because he's comparing it to what's up ahead. So it wasn't light in terms of his... he suffered. And we do. We have afflictions. But Paul saw how God was using it and working in Paul and through Paul with it. And he saw what was up ahead. It's for the moment. Again, this is our lifetime. This is a moment. It'll be a blink of an eye compared to eternity when we'll be home. Because he's working a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory in us. So when we look at these things, keep that perspective in mind. If what we go through brings us closer to Jesus, if what we face causes us to know Jesus better, then we are blessed. G. Campbell Morgan called this psalm Jehovah, the confidence of the pilgrim. Israel, my glory, our guardian. I call it the Lord, our protector. What would you call Psalm 129? Just rhetorical, but think about it a moment. What are you going to call it? Hope it along the line of verses 2b there in verse 4. Because I remember, through our afflictions, through our pain, through our distress, yet they have not prevailed against us. That the Lord is righteous. He cuts in pieces the cords of the wicked. He takes care of us. And because of that, we can sing and declare the truth of Psalm 128, verse 1. Blessed. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord and walks in his ways. She is going to come up to help us respond to the Lord. She is going to come up and lead us in some worship time. We invite you to join in. If you're in need of prayer anytime during this time or after the service, there'll be prayer partners back in the corner, my right, your left. The altar is always available. If you want to come do business with God up front for some reason, no one's going to bug you. Maybe it's a time for you to come up and commit to him or thank him or just renew your walk or your commitment, just be in awe of him. Whatever it might be, the altar's available. But for all of us, let God see us as pilgrims declaring that he is righteous, that following his ways are good, and that we're blessed. Heavenly Father, to that end, we thank you. We offer our praises to you. And I pray for ministry. I pray for encouragement to each one here today. Help us to lay hold of and just to rest and rejoice in that truth. Blessed is everyone who fears you, everyone who walks in your ways. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.